Is he ambulatory at all?
Yeah, well, we'll talk.
If I run out,
the bar mitzvah boy.
If I run out, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Is it on ready?
Yeah.
On ready?
Yeah. I'll share a packet with you. I should have brought my computer.
For what?
I take notes so I can come and,
Are you going to get a recording?
Doing a recording.
Is that how you're
going
to get it?
Yeah,
that's
fine. Okay, good vach, good moed, and good kvittel to everyone. I'm sorry about the delay, but traffic was incredible this evening. I have the great fortune to introduce many different rabbanim and speakers over the course of the year. All wonderful, cool, ahuvim, really wonderful, and we benefit from all of them. But as I often say, I think it's Baruch Hashem the fifth time that Rav Simon's been here since I've been in West Hempstead, which is, I guess, an annual tradition in some Shavuos or around Simchas Torah time. But the greatest chus for me is to introduce Rabbi Simon, because while many of you know him maybe somewhat through me, because I quote Rabbi Simon so often, but get the opportunity to get a karas hatov to Rabbi Simon for all of his guidance and advice and answering so many shilas over the course of the week. Truly indebted beyond words. And while many of you know him as an incredible Tana Chacham and Posik, which of course he is, I wanted to add one prat tonight, which is that I know nobody that I've met in my entire life who cares so much about his Talmidim and about people in general. Just as an aside, on the way here, the phone rang a good 145 times, maybe on the way here, and every question that they asked with incredible patience and always looking for clarity. And really, he is a teacher and mentor, not just myself, but so many. And it's really a zchus to have Rabbi Simon here tonight to share Divrei Halacha and Divrei Agada. Without further ado, Rabbi Simon, to share Divrei Torah this evening.
This is the Lord Asher of Akelimer. I remember the last time I was here was the time where Rabbi Kelmer wasn't able to be here, and was so happy that now that I'm here, that Rabbi Kelmer is here. So it's a tremendous zchus to be in the presence of the Mor D'Astra. And thank you, Rabbi Galler, for your kind words, and it's always a pleasure to be here to share Divrei Torah. So, well, Hoshana Rabba, it's a big zchus to be here. And without any further ado, the topic that we're going to discuss tonight is in Yoni Hilchas Yontif Bahalachu Bagoda. You know, there's a piece in the Chazon Yecheskel from the Yecheskel Abramsky. He says that why are certain Yomim Tovim called Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres and Shvi Shel Pesach. Those are the only two Yom Tovim in the Chumash that are called Atzeres. Shavuos, that's the famous one, but the Torah never calls that Atzeres. So that's in Mishnayis, that's not in the Chumash. So what's the concept of the Yontiv? What's the Tzad HaShoveh between Shmini Atzeres and Shvi Shel Pesach? He says that the Tzad HaShoveh between Shmini Atzeres and Shvi Shel Pesach there's Yom Tovim that don't have any special mitzvah. There's no special, like the first day of Pesach, we have matzah, the sukkahs, there's no special mitzvah. The only reason we sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is a Sveika de Yoma al Sukkot, but the Yontif of Shmini Atzeres itself is not Machayiv in the sukkah. So the only thing that we have is the Atzor Mimalacha. So Mimela, but there's no special mitzvah Hayoim other than Atzor Mimalacha. So Mimela, that's why it's called what? Atzeres. Whereas the other Yom Tovim have special mitzvahs. But Shavuos, he says, so what's Pshat in Shavuos? So he says, Shavuos, the Zman HaMikdash had a special mitzvah, the Shtei Alechem. But after Achar HaChorban, that there was no Shtei Alechem, so then Shavuos blieped in Atzeres, because there was no special mitzvah Sayom, and that's what Rav Yecheskel Abramsky explains in the Chazon Yecheskel, and in Rav Schulzinger's Svarim Panini Rabbeinu Yecheskel. Rav Schulzinger was a great gaon in Bnei Brak. He gave the famous Daf Yomi Shir a couple of hours. The Ian, Rav Mishma Halevim, is a big Talmud of. So he has the different rides from the Gemaras that to this Yesod from Rav Abramsky. So Mamela, I thought, since we're doing a Yontif now of Shmini Atzeres that doesn't have special mitzvahs Hayom, so this is the time you can focus on Hilchas Yontif. Because you normally, we focus on all the mitzvahs Hayom, and then we don't have enough time to focus on Hilchas Yontif. So this Yontif, there's no mitzvahs Hayom. So then you can focus a little bit about the Yontif. About Hilchas Yontif, per se. So I'll tell you like this. Of course, Masechta Beitza's talk is our introduction to Hilchas Yontif, and we know that the Torah tells us that Ochel Nefesh is Mutter on Yontif, Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Achashe Yochel, Ochel Nefesh Ulevado Yesol Lachem. Ochel Nefesh is Mutter. So the Gemara here in the beginning of Masechta the Beitza talks about Beitza Shadolta B'yontif. And Beitza Shadolta B'yontif, so it is also. And there are various reasons why it's also. And one of the reasons is Rav Yosef Omar Gzeira Mishim Peiris Anoishri. That it's similar when an egg comes out of a chicken, so it's similar to an apple falling off the tree. And just like we know, when an apple falls off the tree, you're not allowed to eat the apple. So so to the Beitza, it's a long sugya, but the question that Tosus asks is how come what's the idea that an apple falls off the tree, you can't eat the apple because you're going to come to enjoy the apple and you say, oh, I'll go pick another one off the tree. And then he'll violate an Isser of a Malacha on Yontif. So Tosus asks the Kashi and Gimel Amud Aleph, he says, what's the problem? It's Ochel Nefesh. You can't have a better Ochel Nefesh than taking and picking an apple off a tree? So take a look in the Tosus here on page 3 here in Gimel Amud Aleph. So Tosus discusses this question of why isn't it, why don't we just say it's mutter? There shouldn't be a din of peiros. I understand on Shabbos there should be a din of peiros anosha. Because if an apple fall off the tree on Shabbos and then you pick it, then you violate a malacha d'oraisa. But what about Yontif Zochel Nefesh? So he quotes the second wide line here. Because Yerushalmi Yish Acha Sheyochel Chol Nevesh Samachle Shmartem Es Amatzos Osa Malachos Shemishimur VeElach Umutoros Tainu Milisha VeElach. Avashar Malachas and Mikodim Lachin Asur. So the Yerushalmi has the famous idea of Lisha Me'elach. In other words, that not all Malachas are Mutter on Yantif, even things that you would consider Ochal Nefesh. It has to be Milisha Me'elach. In other words, from the kneading, in other words, if you would be baking bread, so you have a stalk and there's a kernel in the stalk, and then you have to cut the kernel off and make the kernel into flour, and then all those stages, the extra stages, the initial stages, are before Lisha. So then that's usher. The Ron explains, because those things are usually done, you know, mass produced. Those are usually, you don't have somebody taking one kernel and one thing, you know. So mass produce is not part of what really is ochel nefesh, because that's a long ochel nefesh is you cook something for now. It's a short term situation. You do a whole mass production, so that's not what the Torah has in mind in ochel nefesh. So b'meila only milisha ve'elach. So even though by an apple it's not shayach lisha, because you're not making it, but if you would make a parallel to plucking off an apple, it would be parallel to taking off the stalk from the ground, and therefore, since in the lisha ve'elach of the making of the bread in sidur depas, it would be before lisha. So we view plucking off an apple from a tree is also from before lisha, and therefore would be prohibited to do. It's interesting that Tosfos on Beis Amud Beis has the famous question about Lechem Mishnah on Yontif. In other words, was there a requirement to have Lechem Mishnah on Yontif? In other words, did the miracle of to have double mon on Erev Yontif apply just like it had on Erev Shabbos or not? So Tosfos here has a whole discussion, and he says on Beis Amud Beis in the bottom here, he says Midrashim Chalukim. There are two Midrashim. One says that it was only Shabbos. One says it was only Shabbos that they had the double, and the other Midrash seems to imply even Yontif. Midrashim Chalukim. Many years ago, I used to daven in Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn, and so I daven in Brooklyn. You have a lot of places to daven. So I used to go here, Rav David Cohen Shlita, in his, this was before he even had the shul, this is when he used to daven in the Chaim Berlin, the Sifta, based Medrash. That was a long time ago, before they built the shul. So one Shabbos morning, it was Parshas B'Shalach, so I was davening there. So he said over, he says he wants to suggest the Peretz to the Kasha of Tosfos. In other words, to say something other than saying just Midrashim Chalukim. So he said like this. If you look here on page 4, the Gemara in Yuma, Anayin Hei Amad Aleph. So the Gemara in Yuma has a three-way stira in the Psukim, Lagabe the Mon. In other words, how did the Mon... What was the story of the mon? Twofold. First of all, where did the mon fall? Did you get it like people get their newspaper, like Vahavdil, right on the doorstep, or was it a little further out? You know, where? That was one question. And then the other question is, in what form? Was it ready to be eaten, or you had to process it? So the Gemara says like this, Ksiv redes atal ala machal alayla yer hamon alav. So one pasuk says it was, you know, right there. One pasuk says they had to go with the machane. One pasuk says even after the chutz l'machane. Ketzad tzadikim yored al pesach boteim. Beinonim notzu v'loktu. Beinonim notzu v'loktu. The tzaddikim got it delivered on their doorstep. And the Beinonim had to go out a little further, and the Rishoyim had to even go chutz l'machane. That was one thing. The second theory was about what form. Was it ready to be consumed? So, Stira. Ksiv lechem. Ksiv ugos v'ksiv v'tachanu. Okay, so tzaddikim lechem. So the tzaddikim was ready. It was bread. It was fresh. The Rishoyim, the Beinonim was ugos. It was like a cake, not fully like a bread. And Rishoyim tochanu berechayim. Rishoyim even had to be tochim to get to the, they even had to grind it. Oh, so Rav David Cohen says like this. He says that you can't say that the mon didn't fall on Erev Yontif, because then how were the Rishoyim going to be able to eat the mon, because they had a dutchina and it's only Melisha Ve'elach. So Al-Korcha, it fell, it had a fall double. So why does the Medrash say only Shabbos? Because for Shabbos, so the answer to the Medrashim is, one Medrash says that only Shabbos, because on Shabbos it was a Vagantz Kol Yisrael. So Vagantz Kol Yisrael, it fell double on an Erev Shabbos. So that's one measure. But the other measure that says that there was a distinction, so that's the Gabri Yontif, because for some of the people, it could have fell double from beforehand. But meaning for the Rishoyim, it had a fall double from beforehand. So they're going to, so the Mela, that's why there's going to have to be a din of Lecha Mishnah. But for everyone else, it was tzaddikim, it was ready to be consumed. So then it didn't have to fall beforehand, and therefore, so Shabbos was unique. That for everyone it fell from before. For Yontif it could be toloi in what way they had to consume it. And the Mela, that would be the answer to the Medrash. Once we're talking about this Gemara, I'll tell you another interesting thing I heard. From a good friend of mine, Rav Lazer Katzman, if you heard of him, he's one of the biggest Bekiyim in the world today in Svarim. You know, about Svarim, what's in the Svarim, so once in a while we bump into each other. So tell me something on Sukkos. So he told me like this. He said, he told me from the Sefer Toldos Noach was the father-in-law of Baruch Ber. That's already a Bekiyas. Baruch Ber's father-in-law. So he says like this. The age-old question. Why is Sukkos this time of the year? So Sukkos shouldn't be... Sukkos could be any time of the year. Pesach, I understand. It happened that specific day, Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Sukkos, nothing happened. So you know all the classic Teirutzim. I don't have to tell you the tour. It's getting colder now, so it shows you doing the mitzvah. I don't even have to tell you the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon says that Anonim came back. You know, the whole, those are the classic Teirutzim. But this is one that you didn't hear before. And that's the following. He says, the Tosis says in Erevin, there's a discussion of, and this is a core discussion in Erevin in the big cities. This generation, we've come back to this question of having Erevin in big cities. And one of the, so the question is that valid or not? Because maybe the Rabbim penetrate. And, the question of the machlokas in the Gemara, whether you say osi rabim avat lemechitzta or lo osi rabim avat lemechitzta. You know, if a rabim comes through the mechitza, maybe that invalidates the mechitza, and that's one shita. And the other shita in the Gemara says, one shita says lo osi rabim, that it doesn't, the rabim won't affect. The rabim can penetrate, like the traffic you have. The roads are going through, going through the mechitzas, so then it invalidates. So that's a perfect question. How do we, how do we paskin? Osi Rabim or Osi Rabim? There's a big machloikus between the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanos Yaakov. The Beis Ephraim, he was the businessman. He wrote the Mate Ephraim. You know, anyone who knows the classical Sepharim for the, you know, Yom Noraim time, you know, you learn the Mate Ephraim, Beis Ephraim, you know. And the Mishkanos Yaakov was the Machmir in this matter. Parenthetically, I think this Rabbi Katzman told me this also, that when Rav Kook had his first Rabbanus in Russia, so his father-in-law wanted to give him some fatherly advice for to be a Rav. So he said, I would recommend to you that you put up an Erev in your community. And Rav Kook's response was, no thank you, I hold like the Mishkanos Yaakov. And there's not going to be an Erev in the community. So people think Rav Kook, you know, they don't understand Rav Kook. They just think that Rav Kook was, you know, of course he was an Ohr of Yisrael, but that doesn't mean he held everything goes. You know what I mean? Rav Kook was much more machmir in things than like Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was not a makel. You know, people have a misconception of what, you know, they want, you know, it's like Rav Lichtenstein once said about Rav Soloveitchik, people want Rav Soloveitchik to be who they want him to be, not who he was. So the same thing of Rav Kook, they want him to be who they want him to be, not who he was. So getting back. So Tosa says in Erevin that there's a that this question about Asar Rabim v'lo Asar Rabim, so might depend on what type of mechitza it is. Is it a man-made mechitza or is it a natural mechitza? Whereas if you have like a slope of a mountain, so that could be a mechitza, a natural mechitza, if it's the slope is steep enough. And then you have a man-made mechitza. So Tosa says that when it comes to a mechitza that's a natural mechitza, so then, Asi Rabim Vavatle Mechitza. In other words, if you have a natural Mechitza, so, which wasn't man-made, so then if there's traffic going through, that will invalidate the Mechitza. So, this Sefer told us Noach, it says like this. He says that the Anone HaKavod is why we have, according to that opinion in the Gemara, that's why we have the Yantif of Sukkot, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Anone HaKavod. So the Anone HaKavod was Mechitza Bidei Shamayim, right? So, but the question is, maybe that Mechitza wasn't such a good Mechitza, because the Rishoyim had to go Chutz L'Machaneh to get them on. So it was. So according to Tosis, Osi Rabim Mevat L'Mechitza, when it comes to a Mechitza Bidei Shamayim. Oh, so then maybe the chashivas of the Anone HaKavod wasn't so great, but after Yom Kippur, where everyone got a mechilas avonos, so Mamela, even the mon of the Rishoyim, till they went back to their, or maybe they didn't go back, you know, they became tzaddikim, whatever. So they got their, at least for that temporary time, they got their mon delivered to the doorstep, because at this point they were all. They were all tzaddikim. So Mamela, the Anone HaKavod only had the pristine status of mechitzas that we're going to learn from those mechitzas to the sukkah is only after Yom Kippur, when the and that's why that's his total. The Sefer told us Noach, the Shver of Baruch Ber, has told to me. It was hard to find the Sefer, but I found it after the Goddess of the Library. You look hard enough, you can find anything. Okay. So these two ideas work. You know, that shot for David Cohen to answer the Midrashim, and this all have to do with that Gemara in Yuma. Okay. So one of the great foundations in the Hilchas Yontif is the Gemara and the Mishnah on Daf on Daf Yud Beis of Amud Aleph. Beishami Omrim Ein Motzim Lo Asa Kotin V'lo Asa Lulo V'lo Asa Sevetor L'Shus HaRabim U'Beisil U'Matir. So we know there's a din of Ochel Nefesh, right? Yom Tov is different than Shabbos, Ochel Nefesh. But the question is, what about things that are not Ochel Nefesh? So if you would ask me, I'd say, of course it's Aser. Torah only is Mater Ochel Nefesh. It's not Ochel Nefesh, it should be the same Halacha as Shabbos. So that's Beis Shammai. He says, you want to carry something in the street on Yom Tov? You can't carry the cotton, and you can't carry a lulav, a sefer Torah. All these things are osurus; they're not ochel nefesh. Ubeisil matirin, and Beisil says it's mutter. You can carry a lulav, as most of us. Well, there's an erev, but okay. But in even a shus harabim, you'd be able to carry the lulav and the cotton. And the Sefer Torah. So the question is, what's the pshat? Why is that mutter? So the Gemara says, because of the concept of mitoch. Mitoch shehutra l'tzorach, hotzor l'tzorach, hutra nami shalo l'tzorach. So the Torah matter is, place, I want to carry food to the sukkah, I want to carry, so that's mutter, because that's ochel nefesh. So the Hotzah is mutter for Ochel Nefesh. So since Hotzah is mutter for Ochel Nefesh, then what? It's mutter even for non-Ochel Nefesh. So at first glance, this is a very perplexing concept. I mean, like, I'll give you an example. No one in his mind is going to say, well, I can drive a car to save a life, right? So therefore I can drive a car to give you potato kugel. You know, I mean, the heter is pikuach nefesh. So if it's not pikuach nefesh, it's not mutter. So if the heter is ochel nefesh, so if it's not ochel nefesh, so I understand. That's Beis Shammai. So this idea of Beis Hillel, and what's more always perplexed me is that you would have thought the Gemara would have spoken about this. You know, like Manahani Mili, you know, just telling me mitoch, you know, mitoch doesn't sound like hechitesi. The heter is about this. You don't say, well, the heter is here, so that's a very perplexing question, which we could spend the whole night discussing. In the Shita Mikubetzes in Masechta Ksubas, so. It says that it gives a couple of terutzim. So one terutz is that, no, in other words, the concept of mitoch means that ochel nefesh is not the heter. That's not the heter. The heter is anything that's a malacha that has to do with ochel nefesh. So then, so in the 39 malachas on Shabbos, if we have a malacha that has to do with ochel nefesh, so it's not transferred over to Yom Tov. It's not that the tzorach of ochel nefesh is the matter. It's that the this sub malacha is a malacha that shaykh to ochel nefesh. So then, so therefore, that's not transferred over to Hilchas Yom Tov. Because if it would be, if the heter is only ochel nefesh, it's not ochel nefesh. So it's like the question I asked. Something is mutter for pikuach nefesh, so we see mitoch. I can drive a car to save a life, so I can drive a car to give you potato kugel. You know, so that teretz says, say first, that simon, it's just a simon. It's a simon that this malacha, though it was ochel nefesh, not the tzorach heter. It's just a simon that this malacha is malachas ochel nefesh, and malachas ochel nefesh was not said. So, but you have to have the malacha that's anything in the world you could say is ochel nefesh. You know, you're right. I have to remember the menu. You know, like I have to remember the menu so I can write it down. Yeah, but it has to be direct. It can't be three steps removed. So if it's direct, like shechita, like cooking, those are direct ochel nefesh, so those things weren't said on Yom Tov. Yeah. Okay. That's an interesting question. Whether you would say that would be. Well, let me get to this point. But if you assume like this, then they point out, the poskim want to point out. Then it would be a total heter, meaning there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosis here in the Gemara whether you need sarach hayom tzas. In other words, according to Tosis, you need. If it's not, in other words, you can carry something, but it has to be tzorach hayom. If it's not tzorach hayom, then you can't carry it. So memela, if you say like this pshat, that's the pshat mitoch, that it's just the simon, so the malach wasn't, so then it shouldn't have to be tzorach hayom. So Rashi shita is that tzorach hayom is only a din derabbanan. So therefore, midaraisa and ochanami, the malacha is not transferred over, and therefore it's mutter, even if it's not ochel nefesh. But so in other words, some point out that this pshat in the Rishonim will only work, perhaps within Shitas Rashi, that you know, it doesn't need to be tzorach hayom. That's only a din derabbanan. So memela. If, as long as it, in other words, Hotzal was not said on Yontif, because since it's Shaykh to Ochel Nefesh, and therefore it's not said on Yontif, so that Malacha is not transferred over. But according to Tosus, that the concept of Tzorach Hayom is a Din Daraisa, that if you carry something on Yontif and it's not Tzorach Hayom, then you violate a Nisa Daraisa, so then it's hard to say that the Pshat is that it's. Simon of Alba, say for Divrei Sar points out, it's hard to say such a thing. Then you have to give a different teretz, a different makor. The Raiva has the makor that the Gemara Darshan's Lachem Lachol Tzarchechem, etc. So what you're saying is that maybe in a Hanami, at least Midaraisa, maybe in a Hanami would be the same idea. No, we try. No, because in other words, you're dealing with the food directly. I'm taking the food. I want to eat in your sukkah. You invited me over to your sukkah, so I want to eat in your sukkah. I trust the kashas, but I like to bring some food also. So I'm going to bring my, I was just in the Lower East Side for Yantar, so they have communal sukkahs. So it's very. Very geschmack, you know. You can people come over, you know. It's a whole matzah there. So that's why. But when I write on a piece of paper, you know that's too indirect. So that's not called ochel nefesh. There's an interesting discussion. You know, one of the things that people are very concerned about on Yom Tov, I'm also from the people that are concerned about this, is fire. You know, that's the big thing. People don't like to keep fire on, especially 2-day Yom Tov, 3-day Yom Tov. I'm also, to me, the less fire, the better. When I got married, I told my wife, we're only lighting 2 candles. Like the old poskim, Shomer v'Zocher. We're not lighting for every child and every grandchild and every Chas v'Sholom. The less fire, the better. That's the big yisod. You know, Rachmana Litzlan. There were so many cases of fire. Less fire, you have to do. You know, if I was in charge of a yeshiva, I would follow what they do in Tells, that they only have one hadlakas meiros and Hanukkah for the whole yeshiva. I would support that if I was if I Asha Chele, but I don't have too much Chele. So, but I would vote for this. Rav Moshe was. Yeah, I'll show you here. Take a look. Igros Moshe, page 17. He says, he talks about lowering the fire on Yontif. Dover l'haktin eish hagez v'yontif v'madiv v'mechab l'gamrei ein rov v'zatam sh'ya adiv v'mikvastana. Here. Then he says at the end, v'yesh etzli chidosh godol v'ein erotza lichtov zeh b'chsav. In other words, Rav Moshe says, I have a big chidosh, but I don't want to write it. So the people in the know, I'm not such a big person in the know, but everyone in the know knows that Rav Moshe, we'll talk about the old, gas, pilot light gas, those are the old days, that you all know from. Rav Moshe permitted to shut the pilot light, but to shut, not the pilot, shut the gas on Yontif. They shut the gas on Yontif. And this was a big cooler. That's what he says, I don't want to write it down. Certain things, Rav Moshe had coolers and he wrote down a lot of them, but like shaving, he didn't write down his tshuva on shaving. Never wrote it in the Igros Moshe. Doesn't appear. Because he really felt that you should have a beard. But not everyone's going to have a beard, so he gave coolers to shave with special shavers. But he didn't want to write down, as Michael Sherkin writes in the Megid Givul Solom. So I'm not going to, he says, yes, Rav Moshe, how come the famous Tshuva, that was one of the big coolers that Rav Moshe gave, is to allow people to shave with electric shavers. Rav David limits it to which ones, but okay, but he allowed it. That was a major cooler. That Tshuva doesn't appear in Igros Moshe. He says he doesn't. Because really he thinks, Tzuras Yehudi maybe should be, but he knows that it's not going to be the Metzias in America that people are going to shave, so he's not writing down the tshuva. So this is his tshuva, so he wrote about this also, to close the gas on Yontif, he felt was mutter. We're not talking about electricity, we're talking about the old pilot light with the glass flow, because he said that even though the Gemara says here in Beitz on page 7 that a mistapek mimenu chayev mishum mechaber, that if you have a receptacle and you have oil in the receptacle and you take oil out, even though right now it's still lit, but right now you're making less oil there, that's considered mechaber. Either because the Rishonim debate, either because the fire dwindles a little bit, or because it's going to ultimately go out quicker, and even though that maybe should be considered grama, but since it's the Guf Hadover, it's not Mibachut, so then it's Chai Mishum Mechaber. So Rav Moshe has a cooler. So some poskim say that if you shut the gas off, that's the same thing as taking oil from the receptacle. Again, oil from the receptacle, the fire is still going on, and yet it's still considered mechaber. So to shut the gas certainly should be mechaber. But Rav Moshe had the cooler that it's similar to what the Rif has here about kinva. That if you have the Rif has a piece here where he says if you have like 15 pieces of wood that are tied together, and say a couple of them are ignited and a couple of them are not ignited yet, and you take away the pieces that are not ignited yet, so the Rif says that that's permissible. because that's not mechaber. In other words, you're just stopping the fire from continuing by taking away the potential fuel that will burn, in the future. So the Rif permitted that. So Rav Moshe made a tzushtel between that and this case, and it was a big debate. But when Rav Avadi Yosef came to YU for a week, came to in 1991. He came for a week. Do you live in? So one Friday morning, they put him up in a nice hotel someplace in the city, and every day he came in the morning, he gave a shiur, and then he went back to the hotel, and then he came again at night. I remember Rabbi Bronstein reminded me the first time he came, they couldn't start the shiur because they left the malbush in the hotel, and he wouldn't give the shiur in the daytime without the whole itztala of the Rishon Lezion garment, but at night he gave shiurim just with a kapata. So that was his first shiur. You know, his first shiur in YU was about his first shiur in YU was his famous shita that he paskin that the Ethiopians are Jews and they don't need any gairis and they don't. That was his shita. So that was the first shiur that he gave. In Lamport Auditorium, he gave that shiur. Not everyone agrees with him, but that was the shiur he gave on Ethiopians. So it was one Friday morning. I was eating breakfast, and my friend Rabbi Harari said, "You know, Rav Avadi is here now. We could go speak to him." So I was a little shy. He convinced me, and then we went and we spoke to him for like an hour in learning. So one of the things we spoke, we were learning Beitza that year. So one of the things we spoke about was this. So he wrote a tshuva where he disagreed with Rav Moshe wasn't the only person to say this. The first person who wrote a piece on this on page 13 was the grandson of the Yeshuas Yaakov, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Orenstein. He was the grandson of the Yeshuas Yaakov. Yeshuas Yaakov is a classic sefer that the Mishnah Berurah quotes it many times. It's unfortunate that people don't learn it because it's one of the best, one of the great svarim on Archaim. It's a real, chashuv sefer. So at the end of the sefer, he has chidushim from his einikel. So his einikel basically said this idea as well, that if you start just stopping the fuel from coming in, well, that's not called mechaber. Rabbi Tendler wrote an article in the Beit Yitzchak many years ago also saying this idea, and others disagreed. Not everyone agreed to this. Today you have a lot of the things that have automatic charge, but once you don't have that issue of the automatic, electrical starter, so then it still could be relevant. So then you have to ask your Rav whether you should be allowed. But I'm from the, I always was supportive of this sock and this, because that makes people much more calm on Yom Tov to be able to shut the fire, the gas from coming into the. But as I tell you, not everyone accepted this sock. Then there's another halacha of ribui shiurim on page 6. Tana Rabbanan ein ofim yontav lechaver ves homo mal isha kol kadera basar avu pishe netzricha lechaticha achas. As you could take a whole pot of meat, so you have a pot of meat, and you're only going to eat two pieces, one piece, whatever. And so could you put the whole thing on the fire? So the halacha is you can put the whole thing on the fire on Yom Tov, even though ochel nefesh is only if it's tzorach hayom. This you're not going to eat the whole thing, but there's a din of ribui shiurim that in other words ribui melacha means if if you put one piece on the fire and then you put another piece and another piece, so that you're doing many malachas, that you're not allowed. But here you're just doing one thing. You're putting, well, one time you're putting the whole pot on the fire. It's just now there's many pieces of meat in it. So that's called Ribui Shiurim, and Ribui Shiurim is permissible on Yontif if it's not Ribui Malacha. And on Shabbos there's a big machloikas. There's a big machloikas on Shabbos whether Ribui Shiurim on Shabbos is an Issa Daraisa, so only Heter, or maybe Shabbos is only a din Derabbanan. There's a sefer the Chofetz Chaim wrote, Machane Yisrael. I was once discussing with Rabbi Peretzky Zatzal the sefer. He told me that Chofetz Chaim wrote the sefer for Jews that were conscripted in the army in World War I and who needed to know halachas. And he has a whole piece, the Chofetz Chaim, about this, about the question whether a person has to take his ammunition in the army. So that's of course mutter. You're in the army, you have to, you can't leave it. You know, that's part of the heter of the pikuach nefesh, whatever it is. So the question is, once they had to take their gun, could they also take their tefillin along? Meaning they have to move on Shabbos. They're moving from one place to the other. So if they would leave their tefillin there, they would lose their tefillin. So you can't, Kokora is an Isser Hotzah carrying tefillin on Shabbos. You know, if you're carrying, so the question is, once you have a headset to carry something else, are you allowed to carry together with the tefillin? Could you carry the gun, so can you carry the tefillin also? So the Chofetz Chaim's discussion was that it's a question of Ribui Shiurim, because you're carrying the two things together. And the question is whether one is permissible. So we apply the same concept that the Gemara says in Hilchos Yontif, it's mutter. A Shabbos is maybe an Issur D'oraisa, but there's a Shita that's only an Issur D'rabbanan. So maybe B'Shas HaTzorach, we can rely on the Shita that it's an Issur, only an Issur D'rabbanan, and the Mokum Tzorach, like, so he shouldn't lose out on his tefillin, it could be permissible. Some say that no, that Ribui Shiurim is only said if it's the same thing. As you, instead of one piece of chicken, you have 10 pieces of chicken. So Sefer Machzeh Eliyahu says, because each chicken could be the potential one that you're gonna eat. So therefore, that's why maybe the Ribui Shiurim. But if it's different things, one thing that you totally don't need, so then maybe that's not considered Ribui Shiurim B'chalal. But the Chofetz Chaim assumed that it was Ribui Shiurim. Because if you assume it's not Ribui Shiurim, then the Kuli Alma would be an Issa D'oraisa, because the heter is to carry the gun. So this, the tefillin, what does the tefillin have to do with the gun? Nothing to do. So that's not Ribui Shiurim. That's just an extra malacha. But if, and the case in the Gemara was only with multiple pieces of meat. So, but the Rav Poskim, that Chofetz Chaim is the one who assumed that's part of the discussion of Ribui Shiurim, and then you have to clear. Could we rely on the Ribui Shiurim for heter for ochal, heter for Ribui Shiurim makom tzorach? Okay. What time? 5-10 more minutes. Okay. Then there's another topic that people like to know about is bathing on Yontif. Right, so the Mishnah here says on page 9 that whether it's permissible to bathe on Yontif or not. So we know there's a Gemara in Masechta Ksubis on page 8 where the Gemara discusses the concept of shoveh l'chol nefesh, that malacha on Yontif is mutter only if it's something that most people consider a tzarech to do. So if you have something that only the high class of society does. It's not something that everyone does. So then it's not called Shava L'chol Nefesh. And therefore it won't be permissible. Now this was a discussion, you know, an old discussion about what? About smoking on Yom Tov, right? So, you know, anyone who has half a seichel won't smoke during the week either. So, but it used to be that people weren't as knowledgeable and it's a very unfortunate thing when people get addicted. It's a whole thing. But there was a discussion. You know, in the old days they thought that it was a healthy thing. It was the famous Yeshua, that it was good for the digestion. Today, we know better. I mean, that it's not a healthy thing. But this was the beginning of the discussion whether it's considered Shava L'chol Nefesh because so many people do smoke, and therefore it wouldn't be violating the Malach of Havara on Yom Tov, because it would be Shavu L'chol Nefesh. And then the question is about taking showers, because in those days people didn't take hot showers on any day on a regular basis. So then it wouldn't be that it's Shavu L'chol Nefesh, though, to heat up water. So even though you have to heat up water to make tea, so then you can say you can heat up water to bathe in. So that's a big discussion. Because there are other reasons other than Shechter likes to point out other than that's a whole discussion in the postgame whether you're allowed to bathe on Yom Tov. The Chacham Tzvi, he became very popular in this generation because he's the one who gives the heter only to keep one day when you go to Eretz Yisrael and you're coming back right afterwards. So this generation, somehow people don't want to keep 2 days because, they don't want to keep 2 days. It's hard enough to keep it in chutzlars, but Eretz Yisrael especially, when everyone's, doing malacha on the same day, it's very hard. It's a hard sell, in this generation. Even though Rav Yosef Karo wrote a tshuva saying, of course you have to keep, you have to keep 2 days. Over Yom Tov, somebody told me a story that... told me he was in one year. He was in Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, and he's from the Lower East Side. So he asked Reb David Feinstein what to do. He said, "Yeah, of course, you keep 2 days. You're coming back afterwards." And somehow he got to speak to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and in the course of the conversation, Reb Chaim told him that if you're in Yerushalayim, minag Yerushalayim one day, minag Yerushalayim one day. So he was a little confused because his Rebbe told him to keep 2 days, so he called him back. He said, "No, still keep 2 days." But people today want to, the Chacham Tzvi has this kula that he says that, no, you don't keep 2 days, because even though the minhag that you're coming from is to keep two days, but that you only say by a minhag that theoretically could be in Eretz Yisrael also. Like if you're going from one minhag mokum from one place to another place, and you daito lachzor, so you keep the minhag mokum, the mokum sheyotzim yisham if daito lachzor. Because so the Chacham Tzvi says that's because this place that you're coming to could have theoretically had that minhag of the place where you're coming from. So therefore, you can keep that minhag here. But if you're going to a place that can't have that minhag, then that klal doesn't apply to such a place. Eretz Yisrael can't have that minhag. So Rav Yaakov Emden said about his father, he says, "I don't understand. The Rambam says b'feirush, that's not true. The Rambam shita is that Eretz Yisrael also has Yom Tov Sheni." Right? In other words, because the Rambam says it's only a place that the shluchim can come to in Eretz Yisrael, That didn't have Yom Tov Sheni, and then it has to be a place that is mandated. There was shluchim. There was a yishuv in that place. So therefore, if there was no yishuv in that place, So the Shluchim didn't get there, not because they couldn't get there, but no one was living there. So then you would keep 2 days even in Chutz Lars. That's what I heard Rav Soloveitchik speak about his uncle once. This I heard directly. He said, you know, he understands his uncle's, was the Brisker Rav. He kept 2 days. He lived in Meir Sharm there. He kept 2 days because he wasn't guaranteed that there was a yeshiv in the place that he lived. So he kept. So the Rav Yaakov Emden says, what about his father? He says, I don't understand. What is he saying that he can't keep, that you can't have 2 days in Eretz Israel? You can have, that's the Rambam Shita. But it could be that he was just assuming like the Ritva, that the Ritva Shita is not like the Rambam. The Ritva Shita is that no, that Yom Tov Sheni is only a din in Eretz, in Chutz Laaretz. Not like the Rambam. The Rambam writes with Feirush, you can have Yom Tov Sheni in Eretz Israel also. If the Shluchim didn't get there, or it's a place that there wasn't a Yishuv. So my point is that so people like to follow this Chacham Tzvi, because the Alter Rebbe paskin like the Chacham Tzvi. But the question is this really the mainstream Pesach? Like Rav Shechter pointed out, most poskim say it not that way. And Chacham Tzvi, you know, he was very machmir on other things where people, you know, sometimes people pick and choose. You know, the Chacham Tzvi didn't let women go into a hot mikveh on Shabbos, because the chitza b'Shabbos b'chamin. So that, you know, it was not the, you know, that we don't seem to follow. One last thing. In preparation of Yontif, pasuk in Malachi. Let's see. You know, first there's a Meshech Chochmah here on page 18. The Meshech Chochmah says the following. He says there are two types of mitzvahs, the Meshech Chochmah says. One mitzvah is to connect us with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and another type of mitzvah is to connect us with our fellow Jew. He says, Shabbos is all about connecting ourselves with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Shabbos is about. Yontif, you know, the best raya is, someone pointed out, is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the koshi hitiru to say good Shabbos. Whereas really on Shabbos you're supposed to have, you're not supposed to speak on Shabbos, anything. So like Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, he was on the Madrega. Most people do that today, it would be very strange, so I wouldn't recommend you doing that. But Rav Scheinberg was on the Madrega, he didn't speak on Shabbos, just the Divrei Torah. But most of us, you know, if we could speak, it's good. So, but obviously that shows that, like someone pointed out, that Shabbos is not about, you know, creating camaraderie and things like that. It's about you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Yontif is all about people coming together. That's why you can carry things, etc. It's about people. Now, I think it's a harasha on this generation. That we can't wait till the next Yontif to have people come together. So somehow in this generation we treat Shabbos like Yontif, or else it wouldn't work for this generation. So it's a tzorach hashoah that you know, may eislas oslas shem meferus orasecha. You know, that's why my good friend Rabbi Steve Richter told me that his Rabbi in MTA, he told me that his father-in-law, the late Rabbi Abe Stern, he was the one who was machadesh the concept of the Shabbaton, right? Because people need to come together. That gives chizuk to people, and that you know, as we see, you know, tshuva movement and all these things. You know, and when they didn't have these things, you know, people were going off the derech because there wasn't, you know, Yiddishkeit was dry and it wasn't. So okay, but really, Shabbos is for you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Yontif is what is to bring people together. That's the Meshech Chochmah writes that. So the pasuk says in Malachi, on page 20, Hini gora lachem es azer v'zereishi peres al panechem peres chagechem. He says that your chagechem, your yomim tovim, is like perish. is like dung. It's critiquing the celebration of Yontif. So the Zohar HaKadosh writes on page 21, Yikulu shazimnen chagim boi barnash lechadei lumechtei lemiskinei. Now the translation. V'chol shar moedim v'chagim tzarech odom l'smoach v'l'sameach oni. In other words, on Yontif, it's not enough you're sameach, you have to be v'sameach other people. V'hu chadei b'l'chudei. But if you're sameach alone and you don't bring other people, you'll loyal the miskini, onche sagid, you get an onish. In other words, yontif is you should invite people over. Ani could mean not only ani, you know, people who are lonely. You know, I always say, Yom Tovim is the happiest time of the year for people who have people to be with. And it's the loneliest and saddest time of the year for people who are lonely. They feel even more lonely. So that's why the preparation of Yontif is the first thing you have to do is to figure out who are you inviting over to your table, who especially people who need to be invited. And there are always people around. We should take that in mind. But the Zohar says that if a person eats alone, it's perish chagechem. But says the Zohar, perish chagechem ko omar v'lo perish shabbatchem. In other words, it's only a din in Yontif, it's not a din in Shabbos. And that's similar to what the Noam Elimelech said. Oh, so in the Sefer Noam Megodim, page 22, it's a classic Sefer, if you heard of it. It's classic. So he says over from the Rebbe of Zusha, right, the brother of the Noam Elimelech. He says, he quotes the Zohar, and then he says the second paragraph on the right side. Which literally means that on Yontif you can have Ochel Nefesh, you can cook, etc., and Shabbos not. He says, Diktik Tevas Bilvad. He's saying a Nupsha. Ochel Nefesh Levad. Meaning, on Yontif, you can't have the Ochel Nefesh Levad. You have to be with people. You have to be with Sameach people. Shabbos, you're allowed to have the Ochel Nefesh Levad. Now, in our generation, as I said, maybe, you know, even Shabbos, we have Eis Lasos Lashem. Look, if we're already talking on Shabbos, then we could already invite people over to our houses on Shabbos also. Because that's Mamela. Because we have to make sure not to talk things that are strictly usher, but the darga of not to say anything, and bekoshi hitiru, that we're not on that madrega, so we shouldn't pretend to be on that madrega, and we should invite people over on Shabbos as well. But meikar adin, that yontif is that time, and ein ben, that's what the Rebbe of Zusha said, based on the Zohar, ein ben yontif l'shabbos al ochel nefesh bulvad, that in yontif you shouldn't have ochel nefesh bulvad. But Shabbos, you could have it levad. Yontif is about people getting together, etc. So now we're still in the Yontif season, and so we should always keep this in mind. Because, as I said, Yontif is the happiest time in the year for people who have people to be with, and it's the saddest time for people who are alone. So Be'ez Hashem, so this is a short discussion that we had in the brief time we have together to this evening. To speak about some minyan yontif, as I said, atzeres. There's no other malacha no other mitzvahs to talk about, so we can get to talk about the yontif as well. So I wish you all a good kvittel, a gemar chasima toiva, and a simchas yontif, which should spill over to a good year of simcha, brias, nachas, v'chol tov.